Well, the connection of spirituality and violence came to a head about 10 years later in a very memorable event. The last gasp of what you could call revolutionary spirituality in Luther's lifetime. It was an Anabaptist takeover of the city of Münster in 1534 and 35. And we're going to talk about the Anabaptists in another couple of lectures. But now let me just sketch what happens at Münster. You've got this community of people. The Anabaptists are sort of a radically separatist group. They are a Christian community marked by believers' baptism, so that you're not a Christian just by being born and being baptized into some city in some Christian town or a Christian country. No, you have to be baptized as an adult, become part of a special holy community. And here's the danger. You get a holy community and the notion of violence, that the holy community has a right to bring on the future, the end times, the apocalypse, by fighting against the godless. There's that same kind of message you get in Thomas Münzer. The Anabaptists, in fact, most of them were pacifist, but this group of Anabaptists were not pacifists. They were violent. They took over the city of Münster in Holland. So for about a year, Münster was an Anabaptist city. It was armed against the outside world, eventually besieged. What happened, other people who were not willing to be baptized into the Anabaptist community ended up being expelled, or some of them were forcibly baptized. Others were executed. You had sort of a kind of revolutionary communism. Property was held in common. Even food was public property. Money was outlawed. Polygamy was introduced, using the Old Testament as an example. It was also, as many writers have suggested, a way of controlling half of the populace by making sure they were under the supervision of men. Polygamy was introduced. The king of the city was a former tailor who proclaimed himself a prophet, of course, and the ruler of the new Zion. Münster was the new Jerusalem. And he became, as the months wore on, increasingly erratic, dictatorial, megalomaniac. You know, what happens when you're a prophet leading the beginning of the end times? It goes to your head. You start thinking that because you've taken up the sword on behalf of God's cause, you can kill just about anyone. For instance, he killed one of his many wives while his other wives were looking on right there in the marketplace and then trampled on her in front of everyone. You have to figure these women were not too happy about this golden age of the end times. And at any rate, it didn't last. They were besieged in Münster by a force of both Catholics and Protestants. This becomes typical of what happens to the Anabaptists even when they're pacifists later on. Both Catholics and Protestants are willing to kill them. They were besieged by a force of both Catholics and Protestants. They got hungrier and hungrier. Eventually, the besieging force found a way in and slaughtered almost every one of them in June of 1535. The memory of Münster fueled the fear and hatred of the Anabaptists, which we will be dwelling on in a couple of lectures. This notion of a special community that is separate from the rest of Christendom. People like Luther would look at Münster and say, that's what the Anabaptist vision is really all about. You get this holy community that's separated from all the rest of us Christians and thinks that the rest of us Christians are not really Christian because we haven't been rebaptized like them. And they're going to create a theocracy. They're going to create violence. They're going to go crazy. And as a result, Anabaptists ever afterwards were regarded with a kind of horror and were persecuted mercilessly. But what the Anabaptists did do, in fact, after Münster, was renounce all violence. And the Anabaptist tradition from that point on was pacifist. The most important representative was Menno Simons, from which we get the Mennonites. So Anabaptism gave up the sword, but for Luther, the connection between spirituality and violence remained. The people who spoke from their spirit apart from the word were people that he thought were implicitly murderous. The right way to go about Reformation is by word alone, backed up, if you need coercion, by the princes. And so as a result, instead of this vision of a separate holy community that you get in the radical wing of the Reformation, you get territorial churches, state churches. Cuius regio, eius religio. If this territory belongs to this prince, then it follows his religion. And then as a result, instead of revolutionary violence, you get religious warfare between states, between Catholic princes and Lutheran princes. And that becomes one of the formative features of modernity, as people try to figure out how to be Protestant or Catholic without getting into warfare with Protestant or Catholic territories.